This is one of those good news, bad news messages. The good news is I only have 2 points in my message, and they won't be taking me very long to make. The bad news is I have a 7-point introduction. So you listen for the introduction, and I'll tell you when I get down to my message so you can pay a special attention. But we read from Mark chapter 4, the end of the chapter. We read the last passage of Mark chapter 4. And we see the disciples and Jesus. Jesus had, they'd spent the day, Jesus had spent the day teaching. And at the end of the day, they'd gotten into a boat, it says, when even was come, to probably go back to their home of Capernaum on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so we see the disciples being obedient to what Jesus said. He said, well, let's get into the boat, let's go to the other side. But that night on the sea, there was a storm, a bad storm. In fact, the Bible says that the waves were so high, they beat into the ship to where it was almost full. And if you know anything about boats and water, if you get enough water in a boat, eventually it would sink. In fact, that's what the disciples thought would happen because they came to Jesus. He was sleeping in the back of the ship and said, Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? I mean, you need to wake up and do something or else we're all going to die. And so for my introduction this morning, I want to mention 7 things about storms. You see, all of us, and I want to speak to Christians in my introduction, all of us, in fact, I'll speak to everybody in my introduction. Whether you're saved or not, you can listen and get something out of it. But all of us have storms in our life. Some of you are going through storms right now. There are things going on in your life that you would categorize as a storm. You know, when they categorize hurricanes, they go 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think is the biggest one, depending on how fast the wind is blowing. There are some people here this morning in a category 1 kind of storm. It's not the worst storm they've been in, but it's still a storm. And there are others that are in a category 5 storm this morning. It's the worst one they've ever been in. So by way of introduction, I want to say 7 things about storms that come into our life. Here they are real quickly. Number 1, storms come into every life. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what your economic position is. Doesn't matter how much education you have. Doesn't even matter what your spiritual condition is. Storms come into every life. They take different forms. There's a storm of sickness. There's a storm of death. There's a storm of wayward children. There are the storms of broken relationships. And just like storms come to every lake and to every ocean, every person has times in their life where the seas of life are rough, caused by storms that come into their lives. Number 2, sometimes the storms are self-made, sometimes they just come. We're going to talk about Jonah tonight. He was in a storm. Remember when he fled from God? God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went the opposite direction, got on a ship, headed toward Tarshish, and a storm came. That was Jonah's own making. He was disobedient to God. God told him to go in one direction, and he went in the other direction. And to get his attention, God sent that storm. The Apostle Paul was in a storm. We read about it in the last chapter of Acts, Acts chapter 28. A storm that lasted for a while. And again, Paul wasn't being disobedient. He was on his way to Rome. He was on his way to where God wanted him to be. The disciples here, they were obedient. Jesus was the one that said, hey, let's go over to the other side. And they had done exactly what God had said. And I say that to make the point, sometimes storms come into our life because we've been disobedient to God. He's told us to do something and we've rebelled against him. And we've said, no, we're not going to do it. And so God says, okay, you're one of my children. And because you've been disobedient, I'm going to have to chasten you. I'm going to have to punish you. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And by the way, if you have parents today, or you had parents that chastened you while you were growing up, you need to thank God for them. You would not be the person you are today without a mom and dad that loved you and provided punishment when it was due to keep you in the straight and narrow way. And I'm glad we got a God that loves us, that when we step out of that straight and narrow way, will spank us, will send a storm into our life and say, hey, look, you're being disobedient. You need to get back. You need to get back to where you're supposed to be. And sometimes that's why storms come. But sometimes we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. We're exactly in the place that God wants us to be, and we're obedient to the best of our ability, and despite that, the storms come. Number three, sometimes the storms last just for a season, sometimes they last longer. Here for the disciples, it was a matter of hours. For Jonah, the storm only lasted a short time. Now, he was going to be in the belly of a whale for 3 days, and you might say, well, his storm continued while he was in the belly of that big fish. But for the Apostle Paul, the storm lasted for over 2 weeks, 14 days. And there are storms that come into our life, every life, some self-made, some just come. And some of them last maybe for just hours. Maybe some for just days, maybe some for just a week. But there are other storms that come and they stay and they stay and they stay. There are people in this room this morning that if you sat and talked to them, they would tell you, I've had a storm in my life for the past few years. And that's the way storms work. Number four, quickly, some storms cause us to lose hope. The disciples lost hope. They came to Jesus and said, Master, the boat is filling up. The water's filling up the boat. It's about to sink. Don't you, you need to do something. We're about to die. They had lost hope. The sailors on the same ship that Paul was on in Acts chapter 28. The Bible says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They lost hope. Jonah, again, when he was in the belly of the whale, he wrote, he said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea and the floods encompassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. When he was in the belly of that fish, he didn't know if he was going to get out or not. I mean, he prayed and he told God he was sorry, and he told God if he'd give him another chance, he'd be obedient, but he didn't know what was God was going to do. I don't know how much hope he had in the belly of that fish. And that's the way some storms cause us to feel. There is no hope. It's dark. We see no light at the end of the tunnel. We see no way of escape. Our loved one is lost to death. The doctor says it's cancer and there's nothing that we can do. And we pray, and no answer comes. And we ask the question, God, where are you? Don't you know what's going on in my life? How come you don't answer my prayer? Why did you let this happen? Don't you know what's going on? Point number five, God always knows what's going on. The Bible says that he watches every sparrow, and not one of them fall to the earth without God knowing about it. I'll just stop and think about it. A lot of the birds are gone. They've left for the winter. You still see some, but not many. Springtime's just around the corner. Praise God. Amen. It's going to get warm, and the birds are going to come back. And you'll see those little sparrows sitting on a branch or on a tree, and you'll hear them chirping. Never seen a discouraged bird, have you? Chirp, 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 chirp. But listen, if God watches those little sparrows, if God watches those little birds, and this is what the Bible says, don't you think he watches over us? He does. He does. He knows about your storm. He knows what you're going through. He knows how you hurt. He hears every prayer. May seem to us like he doesn't, but he hears every prayer. He's an attendant of every funeral. He is in the operating room for every surgery. He sits in every doctor's office and hears every diagnosis. And the good news that I want to share with you this morning is he is still the master of the storms. He is still the master of the waves. He is still the master of the winds. He still has the power to say, "Peace, be still." And that storm can end in a minute. He still has that power. In fact, when he did that for the disciples, we read it there in that last verse, they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his will?" You see, it was still early in his ministry. They didn't know yet. He was more than just a man. He was God. He's the one that created those winds. He's the one that created those seas. And they are always under his control. And there is nothing that comes into our life that he doesn't know about and have power over. Number six, the purpose of every storm is to drive you to the master. The purpose of every storm is to get you closer to the master. I can see the disciples this night. They had their buckets and they were trying to bail the water out of the boat. But fast as they could bail it, it kept coming in. And the boat began to fill up. Jesus was in the back of the ship. He wasn't worried. He was sleeping. What did the disciples do? When they saw there was no hope, when they could see that they couldn't keep up with the water, when they began to fear for their life, and they said, "We're going to perish. There's nothing else we can do." What did they do? They ran to Jesus. They called on Jesus and they said, "Master, Master, Master, wake up. We're about to perish." When Paul was in the middle of that storm, the Bible says that he got by himself. He went below deck. He got alone and he got on his knees and he called out to God. When Jonah was in the belly of that fish, He was in prayer. He was calling on God, asking for God's forgiveness. Look, every time a storm comes into our life, regardless of whether we bring it on ourselves or whether it just comes, regardless for how long it lasts, regardless if we lose hope or not, the purpose, the reason for that storm coming into our life is to drive us closer to Jesus. It's to drive us closer to our Master. Let me ask you, when do you get closer to God? When do you pray more? When do you read the Bible more? Is it when the sun's shining? Is it when you're dwelling on the mountaintop? Or is it when the rain begins and the winds begin and the waves kick up and it becomes dark? I dare say that every person here has been driven closer to God in the middle of the storm than in the middle of the sunshine. I've heard your testimony. I've heard them. I've heard you when you've come out of a sickness that you didn't think you were going to come out of. I've heard you say, "It was only because of God. And I'm closer to God now than I ever was." That's God's purpose for letting storms come into our life. That's God's purpose for sending storms in our life. So that we will be driven to the Master. Number seven. Some storms we experience the calm. Some storms we just have to hang on and endure. The disciples here in Mark chapter 4 experienced the calm. It says there was a great calm. A great calm. And so there are some storms in our life that we will experience that calm. In fact, the calm always seems greater after the storm. But there are other storms that come into our life that we may never experience the calm. Those are storms that we just have to ride out, that we just have to endure. But here's the good news about those kind of storms. Jesus comes and says, "You're not going to go through it by yourself. Let me put my arms around you. Let me hold you. We will go through this storm together. And we'll make it to the other side." Now, the other side may be heaven, but we will make it to the other side. And when we get to the other side, whether it's here on earth or when we get to heaven, we'll look at the one who rode that storm with us and say, what a good God we have.
Amen.
What a good God. Now, that's my introduction. Now, let me get to my message. We sang two songs about storms from our songbook, and we sing them often. And all of you are singing one of those two songs this morning. In your life, all of you are singing, all of us are singing one of those two songs. One of those songs we sang this morning. I didn't tell Adam what I was preaching. I told him the title and gave him the scripture, but he doesn't know what I'm preaching. And I'm sure he's picked out the songs so that he could give them to the instrumentalist several weeks ago. But the song we sang this morning is one of them I'm talking about, Love Lifted Me. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not a Christian this morning because you haven't come to the one that says, that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. This is the song you're singing. Remember the words we sang a few moments ago. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. That's what sin does for us. It catches us in its grips. We are slave of sin, and it's just like quicksand. It's just like quicksand. The more we struggle on our own to get out, the more we make efforts on our own to get out, it sucks us deeper and deeper into sin. We can see the peaceful shore. We can look and we can see people in our life that know Christ. We can see people in our life that, even though they're going through maybe the same storms we are, have a sense of peace about them. And we wonder, what did they have that I don't? Why do they still have joy? Why, even though they may be going through the same storms that I am, they seem to have a sense of peace that I lack? And so we stay in our sin, and we go deeper and deeper into that sin. By the way, if you're a sinner, you're not going to get better on your own. It just doesn't work that way. Sin, it'll wrap itself tighter and tighter around us. It'll get us tighter and tighter in its grip. It'll pull us deeper and deeper into that quicksand. And just like that song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. And on our own, there's nothing that we can do to rise out of that sin. There's nothing that we can do to pay the sin debt that we owe. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's the song you're singing this morning. Deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. And the only hope that you have is to let that storm drive you to the Master. The next phrase in that song says, remember we sang it, but the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Look, when you're a sinner and you realize that you have no hope to save yourself from that sin, the only logical thing that you can do is to cry out to God and say, Dear Jesus, amen. Dear Jesus, save me.
Amen.
Save me. I can't do it myself. There's no price that I can pay. There's no deed that I can do. There's nothing that I, no act that I can take. I depend on you. And if a sinner has any sense at all, as he sees him or herself sinking deeper and deeper into sin, they will cry out to the only one that can save them. The one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. They'll cry out, Jesus, save me. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am You call out to Jesus this morning, I guarantee you, he'll take you off out of the quicksand sand of sin, and he'll set you on the everlasting rock. He'll set you on himself. He'll break the bondage of sin, as Brother Gary sang about a moment ago, and he will free you. And it's all because of what Michael sang about a moment ago, his amazing grace. There's not one sinner that deserves God's love. I love the song that Wayne and Chris prayed for the offertory about the love of God. I love that last verse when it says, if we with ink the ocean filled and were and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, if every man dipped the stalk, their quill, in the oceans of ink, and they wrote the love of God above in the skies that were parchment made, to write it all, the oceans would be dry. The parchment of skies would be filled, and we'd only begun. We'd only just begun to describe the love of God. If you're a sinner here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you call out to him. And because of his great love and because of his amazing grace, he will hear your cry and he'll pull you out of that sinking sand and set you on the rock and save you. He'll forgive your sin. He'll wash it away. He'll dress you in the righteousness of Christ. He'll make you one of his children. He'll prepare a home for you in heaven. What a deal! What a deal! Why would anybody stay in sin? Why would anybody reject Christ? Amen. Only a fool says there is no God, and only a fool rejects Jesus. Don't be a fool this morning. The other song that we sing quite often about a storm is that song entitled The Solid Rock. I speak to Christians when I mention this one. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Amen. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When storms come, we have an anchor that holds. An anchor that holds. It'll never let loose. It's secure. And so, if you're a Christian this morning, and most of us are, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're on your way to heaven, you're a child of God, doesn't stop the storms from coming. But when they come, we have a hope. A hope the rest of the world doesn't know about. But we have a hope. Not a hope-so hope, but a no-so hope. That the master of the sea will ride out that storm with us. So, storms come. Let them drive you to Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, let the storm of sin drive you to the Savior. If you are a Christian, let the storms of life drive you closer to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that most of the folks in this room this morning have experienced that for themselves. They know for sure because they've trusted Christ. They put their faith in him. But there are some here this morning, Father, that don't have that testimony. They've never asked Jesus to be their Savior. They're still sinking in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And I pray, Father, that you'd help them look toward the Savior. You'd help them cry out to Jesus. It can be a very simple prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Save me. And Jesus will hear that prayer. And Jesus will answer that prayer. And I pray this morning for them. I pray in just a second when we stand and have an invitation song that they'll walk the aisle saying, Preacher, I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I'll have somebody take the Bible and I'll have somebody help them to ask, call on Christ and make them his Savior. So bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.